Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
And welcome. Episode 102 of the Talking Hockey Podcast. Got no Eric today because he said he's feeling sick. I'm back to instead, though. Mm-hmm. In his absence, I don't know. Did you make fun of me last week for not being here?
I think we did a little bit, but not too much. It was only like a minute. It wasn't too much. Probably less than we're going to make fun of Eric. Apparently, Eric got sick. We're not sure if it's COVID or non-COVID related, or what it is. But
does COVID give you a stomach ache?
I don't know. I mean, we've heard a lot about the symptoms and stuff over the last 2 years, and honestly, I still don't know. I know it's headache and cold, or like a cold sore throat could be it sometimes. But I mean, in the winter, I wake up every day with a sore throat for the most part. So we have to be careful there, I guess, with what it is. But yeah, it's nice to have Ty back. It's nice to be able to have someone that's not talking over everyone else on the podcast at all times. So. Welcome back, everyone, to the Talking Hockey Podcast. It's your favorite producer, Luke, here to remind you to follow and subscribe on whatever streaming service you use. Leave a review on Apple, visit our website, talkinghockeypodcast.com, and follow us on Instagram at Talking Hockey for daily content. Now, let's get into today's episode with your favorite group of guys, Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin. I know what we're going to talk a little bit about today is Russia, Ukraine, not the geopolitical aspect of it, but more some of the absurd takes we've seen on the internet, and maybe what it means about, because I know the World Juniors and IOC and some other places, IHF, are talking about removing them for like the Russian team, but we'll get into that. Ty, you wanted to talk about it. We'll let you start first.
Oh, put me on the spot here. I didn't really think of what I wanted to say. What I think is kind of
normal.
Yeah, I know. I have some thoughts on it, the whole situation. So for those of you who don't know, Russia recently invaded Ukraine. For anyone know the reasoning why, really? They're afraid
NATO
of Russia's
protection.
Yeah, Russia's afraid of Ukraine joining NATO, which is absurd because Russia can't say who and what alliances other countries can't join into. But that's besides the point.
Russia's basically scared of unity.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And they want to see how far they can push things until the rest of the world actually does something about it. Ukraine's actually putting up a hell of a fight, man. The videos you see on the streets of Ukraine is kind of crazy. Just civilians just, you know, holding the lines in Kiev. You know, they basically have a whole perimeter of just civilians with AK-47s just protecting their capital.
It doesn't sound like Russia's sent in like very hard troops. Like,
yeah. I mean, well, no one's on Team Russia.
No,
like, of course not a single person wants war. There is a whole other topic about how we could talk about this war and this invasion. And
the Russians don't want
Afghanistan war. And anywhere in Africa. There's a lot of racial things that you could talk about. We can leave that for maybe another podcast. But it's as much as this is a good look for a lot of countries, it's also a terrible look for anything Palestine related, anything Afghanistan related. Like, USA has invaded way more countries than Russia has. We can leave, but yeah, that's neither here nor there. I'll bring it up when we talk a little bit about some of the takes that we've seen on the internet, but yeah. Ty, keep going.
So you're seeing a whole lot of Like in the sports world, at least, you're seeing a lot of repercussions or, you know, I can you call them punishments almost for sanctions? Russian athletes? Sanctions. Yeah. There are definitely the economic sanctions, but now you're seeing it in the sports world. You know, IIHF actually, if I'm not mistaken, they've actually confirmed that Russia won't be at the World Juniors so long as they're, you know, still in Ukraine at that point in time. And they're not hosting the World Champions or the World Juniors. And also, like in the soccer world, the Champions League final was supposed to be in Moscow, and they had to, or St. Petersburg, one of them, somewhere in Russia, and they had to move it from there. And a whole bunch of Russia's in the World Cup qualifying right now, and all the teams who are in the qualifying with them in Europe are saying they're not playing Russia, right? They're going to back out of it. And what does, you know, it's a lot of pressure on that sporting organization.
There's that KHL team that's from Finland that backed out of the KHL playoffs.
Yeah.
There's like some Canadian or North American players that are either not playing, but I guess they've been told, like, if they don't play, they don't get any money or something.
Well,
because of
I mean,
a
that's
loophole
fair.
In their contract.
I think that's fair. But, like, this is unprecedented, I'd say. Like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think it goes to show how much people don't want war. At the same time, you know, I've seen quite a few takes of like, who does that benefit? Russia wants to keep Russians in Russia, so by sanctioning them away from other countries, or like us sanctioning them away from other like different countries, we're really just kind of playing into Russia's long-term handbook of keeping everyone in Russia.
Well, I don't know, man. Like, we're not so this is where I think you get the absurd take. So a lot of them are like, why aren't these Russian athletes going out and, you know, individually calling out, you know, Putin. Russia and Putin?
That is absurd. Right? They still have family there.
Yeah, isn't Ovechkin saying anything? Why isn't, you know, there's only one Russian player who's ever said anything against Putin, and that's Panarin, right?
Yeah.
And then he had like that whole, like, there was talk that he was scared about stuff happening to his family back in Russia.
Yeah. I think the only person that it's fair to criticize in this whole thing that we've seen is Ovechkin, because he's been so publicly pro Putin and has been on part of the organization, Putin's team or whatever it is. Like, I think he's the one person that it's fair to criticize for his support. I don't think it's fair to be like, hey, come out and say to the media that you're anti-Putin.
I heard Zadorov was pretty fucking strong.
Against Putin or
pro? Yeah. Like against
well,
Putin.
I
against
think
the
no
war.
One, I don't think that no one cares about what Nikita Zadorov thinks. They're more so going to want to hear what Ovechkin and Panarin and Kucherov and whoever else think. Like, no offense to those other, you know, smaller Russian players, but the reason why Ovechkin's getting all this criticism is because he is, you know, the biggest Russian, you know, NHL player ever. So I don't think it's and you know, there are people who like NHL needs to ban all Russian players from playing, right? Like, I don't think that's gonna help anything. That's obscene. Yeah. I think if anything, we should be, you know, treating them well, because actually, man, like, if you think about it, in the sports world, like, Russia loves hockey, right? And I mean, you see all the propaganda games with Putin playing against, you know, and scoring like 12 goals, you know.
Yeah.
Hockey's a big thing.
Yeah. I mean, the takes are absurd just from like a lack of awareness of anything. Like, okay, the absurd takes from even Dominik Hasek, I think, which is his official account on Twitter, being like, Russian players shouldn't be allowed to play in the NHL until further notice. And all Russian players should be like questioned about Putin. Like, this energy wasn't there when any of the times that America has invaded anywhere over the last 20 plus years, and Americans were never like, oh, we know what, we should sit out because we're in Afghanistan right now and Canada has never done the same. Like, the takes are just so irrational from every standpoint in regards to that alone. But also, just what does that benefit? Who does that benefit? Making Russians not play? I'm pretty sure most of them are against war. All that does is castrate them out of their own team. And I'm sure there's lots of conversations happening much in the similar lane of Black Lives Matter type stuff on each team. And there's more Russians in the league than there are black people. So, I mean, it's probably even more prevalent than those conversations were from like a just locker room standpoint. Like, it just makes no sense, a lot of these ideas and takes. And again, I just think that's feeding into the growth of the KHL in Russia and does nothing for anyone long term or even short term.
Martin, did you have anything to say? No.
Oh man.
So it puts players in a tough spot. So I think what would be what you do see and are seeing now is that, like, it was actually announced this afternoon that CCM won't be, you know, using Alex Ovechkin in any of their, you know, marketing campaigns, and, you know, they're going to pull all of their sponsorships from Ovechkin. I think that's a better way of, you know, handling the situation. Like, you're still punishing the Russian players, I guess, but I mean, the entire world is, you know, outside of Russia is sanctioning them. Like, any Russian bank accounts in the USA, not taking money out of there ever. They're blocking every single transaction, right?
Yep.
Russia's fucked with all this that's going on. And did you see, so it was actually pretty funny what I saw. The Russian ruble, like their dollar, is worth less than Robux, like Roblox money.
Yeah, it's being completely tanked. Yeah, that's a little nuts.
And I mean, they don't even know. I mean, I get most of you, if you have TikTok, you're probably seeing a whole bunch of videos of people in the front lines in Russia or Ukraine, right? Like, people are like videotaping and posting TikToks of the war and them going on fights. But like, all the Russian soldiers who are then captured, like, they're just like these young dudes who have no idea what they're doing. And yeah, like, I think, as you mentioned, like, a whole bunch of them, every single thing in the media is like, outside media is being blocked from being shown in Russia, right? It's a crazy world we live in.
And Ukrainians are like worried about what type of media they're getting, like, what's the correct stuff. It's pretty scary. We're in a world where we're so interconnected, yet the interconnectivity could just all be lies. Like,
I mean, it's pretty interesting. Like, I've seen reports of Google Maps showing where blockages are of like Russian army, and then also totally getting rid of where it shows like there's masses of Ukraine people or Ukrainian people. It's interesting how that kind of technology will play in. I think I saw that Google Pay and Apple Pay have been blocked in Russia too. I mean, I don't know. Again, I don't know who that's hurt. Like, that's just hurting the Russian people, not the people actually making decisions. That's where
that is kind of the point to make the people
rebel against their own regime.
Which is
we're protecting the, but that's what we just said. NHL players won't do, where they're not going to vocally say something against Putin. What's the benefit of any Russian doing that? Are they just going to be whimmed into saying?
But they are. Putin? There are protests.
There are protests for sure. I mean, I don't.
I mean, they're getting arrested. Apparently, I heard like
in Russia,
people got disappeared or something in the last week because of
that's protests. What I mean. Like, 100 people disappearing is concerning, and all that these pay blockages and sanctions are doing is putting more of those people, I think, at risk.
If a Russian hockey player was to come out against Putin, like, strongly, I would guess they would not be welcome home for a while.
Yeah, who knows if something would happen to them overseas here. Yeah. I mean, I don't think it would be that drastic, but if there was, it would be bad.
But I don't think they'd be welcome home. They might not be welcome onto the Russian, like, Olympic team or...
Yeah, probably not.
International teams and stuff, like, yeah.
So I don't think any of these sanctions are working from, like, unless they're political sanctions more than anything else. But even again, everything's just going to hurt the local people. Like, that's really what it comes down to. Putin's still in his castle and doesn't give a shit. So if anything, I saw a couple actually really interesting geopolitical, like, Twitter threads being like, if anything, this will be a good thing long term because Putin has really played his card and no one's buying into it. And people in Russia, like the power that is there, won't like Putin. Well, the world doesn't like Putin. If anything, this is him losing. Ty thinks he's shaking his head like he disagrees.
No, I agree with you.
Yeah. So I think long term, it was a bad play by Putin.
Oh, for sure.
At least that's definitely. That's not what I'm saying, but I think that's what I read some interesting Twitter threads this week on it. So it's definitely intriguing. Hopefully Russia does go the right way. But I mean, there's tons of protests within Russia. Clearly no one wants to go to war. And I think that's positive.
We had this is going to be the first normal summertime in 2 years. Went straight from the pandemic to a war.
Yeah.
Yeah, sanctions are lifting. Like we're going free will over here.
No more vaccine passports, no more full capacity everywhere.
Full capacity today. Everywhere starting today. Nuts.
You want to go to a Sens game, Martin?
They're in Tampa. Watch them all come back with COVID or something.
It doesn't exist anymore. They're not even testing asymptomatic players.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why you don't.
Today was nice. I didn't have to fumble four cards when I went into the gym.
Yeah,
that was pretty nice.
Walk in,
and then we're going to a full capacity game tomorrow, so that's gonna be fun.
Ooh,
Ty scored us some tickets.
I did.
Look at you guys.
We'll go live on Talking Hockey at the game. Remember that was the place we did our first face reveal. Me and Luke sitting against the Sens, and then we tend to pick, and then Eric put it on Talking Hockey. He's like, "Look, with the Talking Hockey boys at the game." Eric didn't show his face, but he showed ours. No.
As soon as he showed his face, he got racist comments. So I don't blame him. Yeah. What is there anything like hockey related we could talk about this past week?
This is a real quick episode, I guess.
How good Jack Hughes is.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
The kid is good. The kid is good.
I don't really think there's much else.
Like, because Jack Hughes is this good, is the U.S. going to be better than Canada?
Oh, this is actually a good conversation. Okay. And now we'll be back after a word from our sponsors.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And now we'll get back into the show.
It depends on
Matthew, like your boy Matthews.
Yeah.
And
best
then
player
Eichel,
in the world.
And then Eichel and then Jack Hughes down the middle. Like that's insanity. Canada can't compete with that.
Well, I think they got Crosby, McDavid.
Yeah, I guess. Crosby. But Crosby by next Olympics isn't it? Like,
Crosby is not playing next. Crosby's last Olympics. Then we missed
probably,
out on it.
This was probably it. Mm-hmm. Bergeron last Olympics, like
definitely.
This was it.
Yeah.
Probably
yeah, so, but you still got you'll
I
still
think
have
there's the a US... good argument. I think there's a really good argument that America will be better for the next few years.
Yeah. I think so.
I don't buy that.
Man, those 3 years are good.
I mean, like head to head, it's good. Much closer than we think.
Isn't Adam Fox also American?
Yeah. But I mean this Olympics, I think Canada would have smoked them still.
Yes.
Well, Eichel was also out. So that's something that would have held them back. Eichel wouldn't have played at the Olympics. I'm fairly
sure. But Patrick Kane would still be good, and this was probably his last Olympics.
Yeah, like the Americans were going to be like a top scoring team probably because
Pavelski,
they don't really have.
Pavelski probably should have made it.
You have to look at their defensive value. I'd say like like Matthews, when we were breaking down the teams, and if you want to go back and listen to our, you know, our pre-Olympic episodes that never ended up happening, I dropped my rosters, and it's also, there's also a post about it on our inactive Talking Hockey podcast page on Instagram.
Man,
also,
I don't even have access to the Instagram anymore.
Damn.
What's the password?
Let me just share it right now.
Shout it out
on the podcast.
Yeah. Anyone want to log in? I got the password for you. But what we were saying was that they didn't have a lot of defensive value. Like the Canada's teams, you have a shut, easy shutdown line, even in the next Olympics, of like Couturier, Mark Stone, I don't know, some other winger who, you know, Canada has a lot of guys who can play that role of like a shutdown line. The Americans don't have a forward line that can do that at all, right? You don't have a even think about it, like Crosby, Bergeron, and Marchand could shut down any line. They all, like Marchand and Bergeron already do that, and you just add Crosby to that line, right? They would never get scored against, and like. Same with like a line if hypothetically like Couturier and Stone and, you know, someone else were there. And then you have like
Ryan O'Reilly.
Yeah, right, exactly. Ryan O'Reilly. Like, you need players like that to win as well. Like, it's not just as much as, you know, people don't like to say, there's a lot to defensive value. And I think that Matthews is great defensively. Eichel, off the top of my head, I'm not really sure. He hasn't played in 2 years, right? How good has he been in Vegas? I honestly couldn't tell you. I think he scored like, what, 2 goals?
Vegas is going the wrong way, all
yeah.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, and so Eichel, I don't know. What's his defensive value? He's played two weeks.
Minimal games.
Yeah, in the past 2 years, essentially. And, you know, Jack Hughes, Devils are a mess defensively. What I've seen, I mean, I watched Leafs games mostly, but I mean, they had a back-to-back against the Devils, and Jack Hughes did not look great at all.
Well, yeah, it was.
Right?
It
was like, games. He can score great. I mean, you sent that he has a lot of points. Great. But there's still defensive value that has to be brought on your forward lines, because who's killing penalties? Matthews doesn't kill penalties, and he's probably your best defensive forward right now on Team USA.
They could easily. I don't know. They probably have some.
Patrick, you want Patrick Kane? You want Alex DeBrincat killing penalties? You want, I mean, maybe Matthew Tkachuk, does he kill penalties? Think of your wingers, probably. Right? Like, yeah, sure. Matthews, Eichel, Hughes down the middle. Great.
Who's that your is fourth pretty line? Great.
Yeah. But who's shutting down other teams' lines? Because you still need that.
This is true.
That's why I don't see USA taking a step ahead unless they get like a Bergeron-esque player who can, you know, actually shut down teams' lines. Their defense is great.
We won't have a Bergeron next time.
Yeah, exactly. But, well, I mean, you'll have Canada is good at developing, like, I don't know why this is, but like, they're good at developing those guys. Couturier, O'Reilly, would still be around.
Like Babcock.
Stone would probably still be around, right?
Stone
Marchand is probably still going to be around. Like, if we're talking 4 years from now, playing on the next Olympic team,
there's well, 2 years, and that would players. Be the next World Championship, World Cup, right? They're hoping
I
for
don't,
2 years.
I don't know if that will ever happen.
Also, Ty.
Yeah.
Those JT Miller tweets are like, that was complete nonsense, like complete falseness.
Okay, Martin. Yeah. But okay.
Like, was it?
I don't
know. Like, it doesn't seem like it seemed like it got really hot for like that little bit. Even
yeah,
though,
then,
even
and
fucking then... Elliot tweeted about it. Elliot Moose tweeted about it. And nothing,
I think
just
he would be a
nothing.
Great fit. A great fit for that
oh,
second
yeah.
one. But the acquisition cost.
I was listening to Overdrive today, which is Tuesday, so this won't be posted for a while. Ours won't. But they were saying Jonas Siegel brought up, like, would you, like, because the guys were being like, hey, Toronto's biggest thing is defense. Like, they need to add a defenseman.
No.
Especially if Muzzin's out long term.
No.
I don't know.
Their defense is fine.
Yes. And then Jonas was like, okay, let's take two example players. And it's like Manson or Miller, who makes you really better. Miller obviously is the answer there. Like, quite clearly it's going to be JT Miller because he's a game-changing fucking prolific player. But if they can't add JT Miller, should they not try to add like a Manson instead of any other second option?
That's the worst they could do.
Because
they have 8 NHL defensemen right now.
Yeah. But 5 of those are like bottom guys.
They are playing like ever
bottom
since
guys Muzzin, in the playoffs.
Ever
for
since
sure.
Muzzin's been out, how good has Justin Hall been, Luke?
Pretty good. He's been better. He still is slow, and he still seems to have bad coverage, but he's getting points now.
But TJ Brody is able to, you know, bail him out. Justin Hall has been playing really well. Sandin playing, you know, top 4 minutes, I think would be huge for this team because he is legitimately, when we look back at the 2018 redraft in a couple years again, you know, when we're on episode 202, the Talking Hockey podcast, we'll do a 2018 redraft. Sandin's going top 5 easy. He probably goes top 10 right now.
He definitely goes top 10. I don't know what top 5. Top 5 is a stretch.
Better than Dahlin. I take him over Dahlin. I take him over who else?
If you take him over Dahlin, then he's probably your top 5.
Yeah. So top 5 would be, but top 5 would be like Svechnikov, Tkachuk, Quinn Hughes, Sandin, and someone else. I don't remember who went to in 2018, but I'm just saying, Leafs don't need to add on defense, and anyone who says they do is silly. John Klingberg is not a fit for this team at all, at all. What the Leafs need more than anything else right now is a left-wing upgrade on Alex Kerfoot. Their first line is set, Matthews,
but
Marner, Bunting.
So Overdrive, and I think my point, like, I completely agree. It's more so John Tavares right now isn't playing extraordinarily well.
Everyone's going
to
say
him and Nylander should be able to pull a line together themselves. Like Michael Bunting, sure, he's looking sick, but it's also because he plays with Mitch Marner and Matthews. Like that's definitely helping him. Like if you put him on a different line on a different team, maybe he doesn't become a Calder potential player at 26. But John Tavares and William Nylander, if they're playing up to their full potential, they bring a guy like Kerfoot with them.
Because Kerfoot doesn't have
they don't
the
need
finishing.
To have...
You need finishing talent. You're telling me that, like, last week, the Leafs scored, like, 2 goals on Samuel Montembeau, worst goalie in the league, and then, like, to score 2 goals on JF Berube the next night, who JF Berube hasn't played a game in
three NHL seasons. You'll always want that, but I think you're going to want a good defense. Like, what if Muzzin is dunzo for the year?
It's fine. They're showing it's fine.
I don't think it's fine.
They're showing
you go
it's
through
fine.
A playoffs and it's fine.
It's fine.
I think you're concerned.
I'm not. I have ever since like last season.
I think Dubas is concerned.
No, if he is, he's stupid. Like, sure, maybe upgrade. Maybe upgrade your third, your seventh defenseman. I say get rid of Dermott. 100% fine with that. You can even trade Liljegren. I'm fine with that. I don't think Liljegren is going to be anything more than like a bottom pairing guy at this point. I don't think he's shown. I was never really high on him. I know people were. Injury set him back for sure, and you know he had an illness in his draft year, but
he had a fucking mono, man.
Mono for like several months. So
mono's,
I mean, yeah,
killer, dude.
It sets you out, it sets you back, but like, you know, the potential for him is not that high. Also, Timothy Liljegren has just as many. Just as an aside, Timothy Liljegren has just as many 5v5 points as John Klingberg. Never forget that. Okay, which is again why I don't think that's a fit. Like, Sandin is fine. Sandin is great. Riley and Brody are good. Justin Hall is serviceable. Jake Muzzin, play him bottom pairing, and then just put Timothy Liljegren or Travis Dermott. Doesn't matter. You can even play like, oh, and Lyubushkin. They just traded for him. He's a solid bottom pairing defenseman. Does a whole lot of nothing out there, which, again, there's value to that. Mm-hmm. Right?
Russian bear.
Yeah, the Russian. Like there's a lot of value there in having a guy. That can be their shutdown guy. But I think that more than anything, and actually just to say that John Tavares hasn't been playing well, he hasn't scored in like 13 games, but he still has like 10 points, right? 10 assists in that time. And he was actually pretty dominant last night. Hit the post a couple times, had a wide open net that didn't go, that just got blocked. I don't know what happened, but and he had a great shift to set up the game winning goal. So I think he's fine. Goals will come eventually. Nylander's scoring pace is just fine. He's on pace for like 30 goals, right? 30 goals and 75
I don't think
points.
Tavares has been great the last few games from eye test, but yeah, he's
no, he was points. Great yesterday.
He was pretty good yesterday. He had some pretty bad shifts too.
Well, I mean, that's, again, if they just get a guy who can score over Kerfoot, I think that line takes off. And I think that you can play, like, JT Miller is your ideal target there. And I know JT Miller sucks defensively, but he can
score. We did talk about it a lot last week, so we should move on from this. Okay. But who would you put in that trade for JT Miller, Ty?
I would put Robertson. My only untouchables on the Leafs are Topi Niemelä, Matthew Knies. That's about it. Those are the only ones I wouldn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm fine. Actually, I'm fine trading Nick Robertson. I'm fine trading like the other guys, like Hervenin.
Yeah. No, I would. I said last week I would trade. I would even trade Liljegren.
No, Liljegren isn't a prospect. Liljegren's
I know, but
I'm fine with that.
Yeah. But yeah, okay. I said I would include Robertson last week too. Okay, what else is there in hockey news, boys? We should get off the Leafs. We should try to talk about something else.
Davidson got hired.
Oh yeah, this is funny. Okay, we'll talk about this, yeah. And then I think it's going to be a relatively short episode.
Davidson was the interim GM, right?
Yeah. So this is hilarious because Chicago was like being very, to try to, I guess, rebuild their reputation with their fans and, you know, everybody, they were being very open in who they were interviewing, and they got like this external like firm to help them with their search for a GM. And then all that ended up happening was they hired the guy who was already in the organization and already was the interim GM.
Yeah. The best tweet I saw is from Acting the Fooliman. The old school way of hiring GMs in the NHL is just to promote the interim guy who's already there. The new way of hiring GMs is to make a big show of interviewing a wide cast of candidates and then to promote the interim guy who's already there. I thought that was so funny.
That's
it's basically
funny.
The exact same thing. Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting that they did a whole due diligence and publicly due diligence and interviewed people from, it seems like, different sports. But, I mean, I have nothing against Kyle Davidson, or do I think he's going to do a worse job or a bad job? I don't care. But it is interesting.
He is pretty new. Like, it's not like he's been a GM before.
He's pretty young, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah.
You can't really say they're going old boys club, like, no. With this person.
He's only 33. Mm-hmm. From what, 33. So he's about Kyle Dubas' age. How old is Kyle Dubas?
Dubas
and the same initials?
Old.
Dubas later 30s, I think.
Kyle Dubas is 36?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess Kyle Davidson would be the new youngest GM. Yeah, it's just pretty funny that they went the same route.
They had some pretty interesting candidates. Like, they had some baseball people and some... They were interested NBA. In someone who was on the Raptors, but I mean, got to be honest. Why would you want to leave that to join the shit show that is Chicago right now?
Yeah, for sure. Like, maybe some of these people said no. Like, to be
honest. Exactly.
Like, thanks for the interest. I think some people, though, if you're that much of a competitive in sports, you sometimes
you think
look
you could turn around.
Turn around, yeah. I think that's sometimes an attractive. At the same time, in Chicago, it's not so much of a shitty product. It's a shitty PR that they'd have to turn around, which is a lot more complicated than probably try to rebuild. Yeah. Cases.
When you have owners like Rocky Words going nuts.
Yeah.
And then apologizing to be like, oh, that nothing should have happened there.
I wonder if anyone pulled out of being like after that incident and they were like, I don't even want to apply here anymore. Don't even consider me.
That's definitely possible. I think I like heard stuff didn't go well with that. Like there was backlash within from like fans, like because they have to answer to like the season ticket holder fans, right? And I think there was backlash. And I think Rocky Words is less of a player in decision making. It's more of his son.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Like part of that incident. Because he's so old school. Like so old school.
Yeah. What else is there to talk about, boys? There was the Leafs 10-7 game. That was pretty wild.
Don't talk about the Leafs. Don't talk about
I know, but that was like really interesting. I didn't watch
and
it.
And everyone's going to be like, Leafs defense sucks. They gave up 7 goals to Detroit. But actually, they should have given up maybe 2 goals to Detroit that game.
Yeah. Yeah. The more concerning thing there was Jack Campbell, for sure.
I mean, Detroit also should have given up like only 3.
Yeah, that's true. It should have been 3-2.
I think I saw the stat. It was there was 17 goals and an expect whatever you consider expected goals against of like 4.85. So it was 14 or 15 goals over the expected goal rate based on quality. And it was the worst game in the last 40 years based on that.
Campbell literally gave the puck to a Detroit Red Wings player for a wide open net, and that wasn't even the worst goal he let in.
The worst one was probably his fourth one.
Yeah, the one from the side that just went like
yeah,
the short side.
What was
side
he doing?
Goal.
What was he covering?
Know. The other one was honestly though that unscreened point shot. Like me, I think I could have had a better game in the NHL. I definitely think that Luke could have. Luke was a ball hockey goalie, back in the day. Laurier with Casey Cizikas's brother, or cousin or something like that.
Brother.
So Luke definitely could have had a better game than Jack Campbell.
I mean, I let in a lot of goals against that team, but that some games I was on fire. I only let in like 3 goals. So I was impressed with myself.
Anyway, I don't think there's anything else to talk about. This is a quickie. Usually we're here for too long.
Yeah. I'm trying to look at some news and see if there's anything else.
No, just end it.
There isn't.
Okay.
We're in like the
lull of the season before it picks
eaves,
up.
Yeah, eaves before the lull before the
calm before the storm.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening. Short episode this week, and we'll see you next week. Thank you everyone for tuning into this week's episode. We love and appreciate each listener that sticks around to the end. With that comes reminders to leave a review, press follow on those streaming platforms, and make sure to head over to Instagram to follow Talking Hockey. We're on the road to 30K and we can't wait to continue to build our audience. Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin signing off. We'll see you all next week.